Amen. Thank you, choir. Our hope is indeed in the Lord. And many times we have no reason for hope other than the fact that the Lord God is in control of all things. And that's a great reason for hope. And the reason that He has redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ gives us hope. It gives us hope when we don't have hope. This morning we are continuing our series in 1 Corinthians entitled Chaos and Correction. Chaos and Correction. The series is named that because the church in Corinth was indeed a mess. They needed correction. And Paul sought to do that through this letter that he wrote to them. Last week, Brother Todd spoke about the presence of spiritual gifts in the body, the unity of the body, and the hand of God in giving us gifts for the church. You may remember, you guys, everybody remember that from last week? Okay, everybody? Okay, thank Anthony remembers, okay? He's got it. He was listening last week. Thank you, brother. So the passage today, the reason I want to make sure we all remember that, because you're not having deja vu, the passage today is strikingly similar to the sermon we heard last week. It's almost as if Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians together at one time. Because he did, right? He did write it all together. He didn't write one chapter at a time. It was indeed a letter to the Corinthians, right? Everybody awake this morning? Yeah, I'm awake. I'm trying to stay awake, okay? So he wrote this letter to them, and he continues this theme in verses 12 through 31. The same theme we saw in verses 1 through 11 last week, okay? Is everybody with me? Let's stand together as we read this passage. I'm going to read all of it, and then we'll pray. The page number is in your bulletin. I believe it's 722 in the church Bible. Verse 12. For, as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And if the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all these members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, health, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Let's go to God in prayer now. Father, we do ask that you are present here today by the power of your Holy Spirit. We do cherish your word, and we need you to speak to us. Our hope is in you. We are hopeless and helpless on our own. Help us to remember that, God. Please speak to us. May our lives be changed. May our hearts and our minds be changed. We ask your blessings on our Toronto team. We ask your blessings on Brother Todd as he brings your word there in Toronto. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated as we continue to worship. Many of you who know me well, or really if you spent any amount of time with me, you may know that there is one particular part of my body which does not work very well at all. And many of you may look at me and say, "Brother Matt, quite frankly, there are a lot of things wrong with you." And that may be true, but that's not the point. One particular part of my body is completely useless. Does anybody know? My ear, my left ear. I mean, how many of you did not know that? Probably a lot of you. Okay, yeah, because based on everyone looking at me, they're examining me, trying to see what's wrong, and they're taking notes. Well, he looks kind of weird here. So my ear, I cannot hear out of my left ear. That happened in first grade. I had some surgeries, long story, but I cannot hear out of my left ear. And you might say, well, that's not a big deal. We didn't even notice. And indeed, it's not a big deal, but I assure you, my body does not function the way that it would if I had hearing in that ear. I can still function very well, but I cannot function the way I would if that ear worked. For instance, when I'm at a romantic movie with my wife, she leans over and whispers something in my ear. I hear nothing. Of course, she doesn't do that because she knows by now to sit on my right side. So when she whispers to me, I can say, "Oh, that's sweet," and I can give her a hug, and you know, whatever. Another thing, you know how you talk on the phone for a long time and you get tired and you switch ears? I can't do that. Sometimes I'll switch hands and you'll see me holding my cell phone on my right ear with my left hand. You might think I'm kind of weird. Well, it's because I can't hear out of this ear. Other times, if you didn't know I was deaf in my left ear, which you do now, but if you didn't, you may try to tell me something and I may lean over like this. You think, what is he doing? It's because I can't hear out of my left ear. And so for the most part, it's really not a big deal. I've learned to live that way because it's been since first grade. However, I do notice it still, and my body does not function the same way it would if that ear worked. In the same way, Paul is speaking in this passage about the importance of every member of the body of Christ and why they are important. Now listen, the church can function without you, but the church would not function as well as it could with you. And that is the point. Paul is not saying that a body cannot operate without, say, a hand or an ear or an eye. What he's saying is it's not functioning the way it should. So let's look again at what he's telling us. The first point I want us to see this morning is that we are one body, many members. One body, many members. And that's verses 12 through 14. Now, I'll read that again as we go through it. Is that okay if we continue to look at the scriptures as we go through? Is that all right, everybody? Okay. Look at verses 12, 13, and 14. Paul says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Okay, so he's making the illustration. The body of Christ is like a body. Okay, it's a common thing in the scriptures that calls the church the body of Christ. "For by one Spirit," verse 13, "for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." And Paul gives this analogy of the church as a body. It's very frequent. In fact, some of you may have noticed it's in this passage a lot. It's in there 18 times. 18 times in this one passage that we read this morning, the word body is used to refer to the church. And so we see this idea of many individual members making up the body or the church. Many members, one body. Many members, one body. In verse 13, Paul also, he gives the reason for this. He says here the idea that we are baptized by the Spirit, and it says that we are drinking one Spirit. And what he's talking about here is the sealing of our lives in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is referring to salvation. Okay, this is not some extra event that happens after salvation. This is the receiving of the Holy Spirit, the sealing into the body of Christ. John MacArthur helpfully says, "This is not an experience to seek, but a reality to acknowledge." So the Christian is not looking for some other experience with the Holy Spirit. Okay, in fact, if you have not experienced the baptism in the Spirit, you are not a Christian. Okay, if you have not received the Holy Spirit, If you are without the Holy Spirit, that indicates that you have not received Christ. Because Christ said, when I leave, I will send to you the Holy Spirit, the Helper, and He will teach you everything that I have taught you. So this is not something that we are to look forward to in the future. This is something that we are receiving at the time of salvation, and we have in the rest of our lives as believers. So the Holy Spirit has filled your life, united you with Jesus, and brought you into His body, the church. It's all one act. This is what comes with being a Christian. You are now part of the body. So you can't say, well, I just want to be a Christian, but I don't want to be part of the body. I just want to be around the body. Well, if that's the case, then you're not a Christian. Because the Scriptures tell us that if you are a Christian, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, you are part of the body. You may be a non-functioning part of the body, but you are nonetheless a part of the body. The same Spirit of God that seals us into salvation is the one who equips us and gives us the gifts to be used in His church. They're called spiritual gifts for a reason. They come from the Holy Spirit. He gives those to us to be used in the church. And Paul speaks here about the diversity of people that make up the body. That is one of the greatest things about the church, is the diversity of the church. No matter if you are Jew or Greek, I don't know how many Jews and Greeks we have here this morning. According to the Scriptures, most of us are all Greeks, even though most of us were not born in Greece. Okay, Jew or Greek, of course, Greek referring to non-Jewish. So all of us are either Jewish or non-Jewish, right? We're all either Jewish or non-Jewish. But he says whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we can add to that, right? Paul's point is whatever, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're intellectual or non-intellectual, whether you're a city folk or a country folk, it doesn't matter. When you are sealed in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are part of the church. And that is Paul's point this morning. The Corinthians, as you know, they were experiencing discrimination. As you think back many, many weeks into our study, remember the Lord's Supper? Remember our study on the Lord's Supper? Some of them were discriminating against others. Some were eating too much food. Some were having more honor than others. There's multiple instances of discrimination in the Church of Jesus Christ in Corinth. And Paul is saying, as he's going from chaos to correction, he's saying, this should not be. There is neither slave nor free, Greek nor Jew. We are all one in the body of Christ. And Paul is making clear there is no part for discrimination and injustice in the body of Christ. We must always remember that, church. Always. If someone commits his or her life to Christ and follows Him in obedience and faithfulness, that's the key, okay? They're being obedient and faithful to Christ, okay? We must welcome them as a part of the body of Christ, okay? If someone is faithfully following Christ, giving their life to Him, and they say, I want to be a part of this church, I want to participate, if we do not welcome them, we are disobeying the Scriptures. Now, if they come and say, hey, I want to be a part of your church, but I want to do whatever I want according to my own plans, that's different, right? Or even those who are already a part of the church, one of us, myself even. If we say, well, we want to continue to be a part of the church, but we want to go our own way and do what we think rather than what the Scriptures think, we have a responsibility to say, as part of this body, you cannot do that. You must repent. You must turn back to God. You must follow the Scriptures. I was in Louisville this week speaking to a very, very dear friend of mine. And he was talking about how he's counseling actually a former seminary student who has just decided he doesn't want to be married to his wife anymore. Just doesn't want to. That is disobedience to the Word of God. And we have a responsibility. That's not discrimination, okay? That's discipline, right? That's loving that church member and saying, listen, God has a plan for your life. It's in His Word. And if you're not following it, you're not being faithful to Him. So the church must welcome those who are faithfully obeying Him. Excuse me for just a second as I get some water. I got a little too worked up already. The second point here, let's look at our second point. One body, see it up on the screen here. One body according to God's pleasure. One body according to God's pleasure. We see that God is the one responsible for gifting the body with the way we have been gifted. Look again at verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. If they were all one member, where would the body be? Paul provides here the perfect illustration for the point of this passage. We really don't need to offer any illustrations beyond this. The diversity of gifts in the church is necessary for the church. The diversity of gifts in the church is necessary for the church. Think about the illustration Paul gives. Can you imagine having an extra set of eyes instead of ears? You'd be able to see really well, wouldn't you? But you wouldn't be able to hear very much. Could you imagine if you had a third hand but no neck? Well, that third hand might be useful when you're trying to wrangle your kids, but when you can't turn your head to see what's going on, that's not going to be very useful. That not only would be strange, it would be pretty ineffective. Do you see the point? We need diversity in the church. We need diversity of gifts. And listen, church, who knows better than what the church needs than the Lord God, who knows all things, who established a church, and who is the one who gifts us with these gifts. He knows best. Look back with me a little bit farther in the passage in verse 4 from last week. We're going to read verses 4, 5, and 6 in chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works in all. You see what's going on here? God has orchestrated the church, His body, to fit and work perfectly. He is the one who works all of this out. Let me ask you, church, do you think that He is competent for this task? Do you think that God can handle this? I think that we should think that, right? If we don't think God can handle this, then what are we doing here? If we're not worshiping the one true living God who is in control of all things, then who are we worshiping? We believe He can, in fact, do this. And God does it this way, the way He wants, according to His wisdom and pleasure for His glory. Let me just tell you, church, He's got this. He knows what He's doing. Okay? We don't need to try to fix things or to interfere. We need to trust Him. We need to be obedient. And we need to do what He has for us to do. That is the point I believe Paul is trying to get across here. Among other things, he's trying to say, God works all this out. God knows what's going on, and He is the one who has gifted you. Be obedient to that calling. The third thing I want us to see is that we have one body, we are all valuable. One body, all valuable. Paul points out that each member of the body has value and honor. Look at verse 20 with me again. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That, here's the reason, church, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Do you see what's going on here? These verses make it clear that every member of the body is important. Every member of the body is necessary. Everyone plays an important part, and everyone has value. Now, there is no doubt that some gifts are more public than others. For instance, the gift of preaching and teaching is more public. I'm standing here facing all of you all, and you're not facing everyone else. So it's a more public gift. It does not make it a more valuable gift or a more necessary gift or a more important gift. It is a unique gift, as all of our gifts are unique. Some members use their gifts and hardly anyone notices. Things happen in this body, in this church body. People use their gifts on daily, weekly basis, and most of us don't even know about it. That does not mean that gift is unimportant. And many times, most of the time, if you took that gift away, it would have an effect on the body in a negative way. If someone said, well, I'm going to stop praying for our preschool and children's ministry, no one even notices. That could have a negative effect on our preschool and children's ministry. Or someone said, you know, I don't think anyone ever notices that I pick up bulletins in the hallway that people drop when they walk by. I don't think anyone notices that, so I'm going to stop doing that. All of a sudden, our custodian Raymond may say, well, where all these bulletins come from? What's going on here? You see what I'm saying? Just because no one notices doesn't mean that the gift is unimportant. So why did God make the body this way? Why did He design it? Well, I have an answer for you. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why He chose to do it this way, but He did. He designed it so that everyone had a part to play to make sure the body is functioning effectively as one. If it were up to leaders today, we got a bunch of leadership people together and we said, hey, we need to figure out a way to make this body effective. I doubt their plan would be, okay, every single person needs to play a part. They would probably say, let's find a few really good leaders. Let's give them some responsibility. Let's delegate things and go from there. Now, delegation is not a bad idea necessarily. In fact, the scriptures speak to that when it speaks of deacons and other things. But what I'm saying is, God's made it so that every single person in the body is important. So listen, church, we are depending on you. We are depending upon one another. We must function together to be effective. Paul wanted to make sure that no gift was considered without value. Verses 25 and 26 make it clear that gifts are for supporting the body and building each other up. These gifts are not for comparing ourselves to one another, but for complementing one another. Let me say that again. These gifts are not for comparing ourselves to one another, but for complementing one another. We fit together. It's not a competition. We serve together as one to the glory of God. One body, many members. These gifts are not for division. They are for unity. What an awesome design God has made. Everyone's gift matters. Everyone is important to the body. Let me share our fourth and final point before we get to some application. We have one body, but different gifts. One body, but different gifts. This point has been well established by now, right? We get this, but we really need to get it, right? We need to remember this. Paul is making it clear again that everyone does not have the same gift. The body is diverse and full of unique individuals. And that's awesome. It's an awesome thing that we're not all exactly the same. I would not get along with you all if you were like me. I assure you that. Okay? I would not be able to put up with myself all of the time. Okay? It's so awesome that God has made us unique. Look again at verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers after the miracles. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, health, administrations, varieties of tongues. And he says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Don't be confused by Paul's list here. So many times, we as Christians, we like to find these lists and make them into something they're not intended to be. Okay? These are indeed spiritual gifts listed here. But this is not an exhaustive list. These are not all of the spiritual gifts. You may look at this and say, oh, Brother Matt, wait a minute. I'm none of these things. What do I do? Okay? If you look at all of the lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible, you will quickly realize that they are all different. And even if you took all of those on every list and listed them into one consolidated list, That still does not necessarily include every spiritual gift, because we are all unique. And God makes us in a unique way and gives us these gifts for His glory and for the effectiveness of His church. There is no complete list of spiritual gifts. So if you look at the entire list of every gift in the Bible and say, I can't find my place, I must be broken, or I must not have to serve, I must have a pass, you would be incorrect if you thought that, okay? Seek the Lord and seek His gift for your life. And Paul is trying to get this point across. He says, I'm paraphrasing here, but he says, do we all preach? Of course, it's a rhetorical question, right? No, we do not all preach. If we all preached, okay, we would not get out of here on Sunday at all. We would continue to preach and preach and preach for weeks on end. Do we all practice hospitality? No. Do we all do hospital visits? No. Do we all serve in leadership positions? No. Do we all greet at the doors? No. All those things are great. But all of us are unique. Do you get it, church? All of us have a unique gift. The importance is not found in which gift you have. The importance is found in whether or not you use your gift. The importance is not found in which gift you have, but in whether or not you use your gift. And then Paul concludes this chapter with a verse that really kind of comes across awkwardly in the English language. In verse 31, he says, earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, I've done a lot of study on this week, and there's much debate among biblical scholars about what Paul is saying when he says, earnestly desire the best gifts. Here are a few different possibilities. Some say that when he says that, he's saying that each of us should desire more spiritual gifts in general. We should just desire to be equipped more. Another option is that each person should desire to have the gifts of teaching and prophecy, because they're saying these gifts are the big gifts, and that each of us should desire to have those. I'm not really sold on that opinion, because that kind of goes against everything he just said, that each of us have unique gifts. Another option could be to indicate that we should seek to see the best gifts carried out in the life of the church. So gifts such as teaching, preaching, prophecy, those things. That could be an option as well. I can confidently say that I don't know exactly what he means, okay? I can say that with complete confidence. But I can also say with confidence, I know what he's saying at the end of that verse. There's no debate as what he's referring to at the end. Paul says that he will show a more excellent way. And this more excellent way is the transitional verse into chapter 13, the love chapter, okay? Now, many people think of the love chapter as chapter for weddings. There's so much more to love than just weddings. Weddings are awesome, and that kind of love is awesome. There's so much more to it. And the more excellent way is using our gifts in a way that is marked by love. But that is a sermon for next week. I don't want to get carried away. We'll get into that next week. So let me give you some practical things that you can look at. What are some practical things? Maybe we'll call these good practical stuff. Okay, GPS. Good practical stuff. You say, all right, Brother Matt, we heard the word. It's kind of a reminder of what Brother Todd said last week. We think we know what Paul's telling us. What can we do? Okay, these are not on the screen, so you're going to have to actually listen this time. Okay, use your ears, or if you can only hear out of one, just use the one. Okay, number one, affirm our oneness and your uniqueness. Okay, we need to understand that that is a good thing. That is the way God has designed it. It's not a problem. It's a blessing. That each of us are unique, but yet we are also one. You remember last week, Brother Todd, when he spoke about this, he said it affirms the setup of the Godhead, right, of the Trinity, right? They are unique, yet one. In the same manner, the church is made up of unique individuals, yet we are one. Number two, do your part in the body. Do your part in the body. Listen, folks, don't be like my left ear. My left ear is no good. I do not like it. I get mad at it all the time. And some of you may not believe me. Trust me, after the service, I'll be out front. You can come scream in my ear if you want. It won't bother me a bit. Okay? It's useless. Don't be like my left ear. Do your part in the body. Don't be someone who just sits there and does nothing. Number three, value your gift. Value your gift. I think this is important for all of us to understand. Your gift is important. Do not neglect serving your church in the name of humility and saying, well, I'm just not, you know, that great in anything. You know, I just don't know how I can be used. I'm not that important. You're neglecting your part in the body. You're not being humble. You're being disobedient. And you might say, well, that sounds mean, Brother Matt. Well, I didn't write the Bible. I'm just preaching it to you. Paul says all of us have a unique gift. Now, that doesn't mean if you're confused or something like that, that you're disobedient. We want to help you as a church. If you want to come to one of our staff members or one of our other leaders in our church and say, I don't know what my gift is, but I want to serve. How can I do that? We'll help you. We're not going to say, well, you're just disobedient. Good luck. You know, we're going to call you out for not being obedient. We're not going to do that. We want to help you and equip you. That's why God has given us leaders in the church. And on that same note, number three was value your gift. Number four, again, in the same manner, use your gift. Understand, number three is understanding that your gift is important. And number four is actually putting it into action. Using your gift. Using your gift. Now I want to point out a couple things that I believe can really help you. If you're at that point where you say, okay, Brother Matt, I'm convinced that I am supposed to serve. I think the Word of God is true. It's penetrated my heart and my mind. What do I do next? Well, I have two things for you. The first is if you go to our website, and I actually have this on the screen for you. If you go to our website, you will see on the right side there the little dove. Everybody see the dove? If you see it, say, I see it. Okay, I'll wait. Everybody see it? If you see it, say, I see it. All right, there we go. All right. So it says there, discover your spiritual gifts. Okay, if you are completely lost as to what your spiritual gift is, go to our website. It's fbchenderson.org. Guess what FBC stands for? First Baptist Church. You'd be so surprised how many people have a problem. What does that mean? First Baptist Church. FBCHenderson.org. Click on that little thing there. It'll take you to a separate link that will take you through a spiritual gifts test. Now, some of you are going to say, wait a minute, Brother Matt. You just told us that these lists don't include all the gifts. Indeed, I did, and that is true. But this will give you a place to start. All right. If you have no idea what your gifts are, you can take this test, and it'll help show you what you're supposed to kind of think about and what you may be gifted at. Okay, additionally, if you look on the ends of your pews, there should be some cards there. I think they're different colors. I think some are blue, some are green, maybe yellow. But if you look at those, it's a very simple card. It says the power of one, which is the title of the sermon, in case you missed that. It has a spot for your name. And then it says, actually I forgot exactly what it says. How can I use my gifts? Is that right? Okay, how can I use my gifts? Yes, how can you use your gifts, right? How can you use your gifts? Now, everyone is not required to fill this out. We're not going to require you to hand them in before you leave. However, many of you may be looking for an opportunity to serve. And you may feel like God is calling you to be obedient. By the way, He is calling you to be obedient, okay? And so you might say, I want to use my gifts. Some of you might say, I've always wanted to do something, but no one's ever asked me. I'm asking you now, please serve the church. Please be a functioning member of the body. And if you need some assistance or if you just want to let us know as a church how you can serve, just go ahead and write your name down there and your how you think you can serve. Now, if you're not a regular member or somebody and you think we may not have your information, go ahead and jot your phone number down there as well. I think most of you, we do have that. And here's what I want to do. I want if anyone has one of those, go ahead and just pass them down to the end of the pews, and if anyone has one to hand in, I want actually our ushers to come now, just one usher from each side. Can we have somebody? Does anybody have one to hand in? Anybody want to do that? Okay. Anybody in the balcony? That's fantastic. My assumption is everybody's already using their gifts, right? Right? Everybody right? Everybody, say, I'm using my gifts if you're using your gifts. Everybody? Anybody? All right. Okay, well, thank you guys for doing that. Hey, these guys were using their gifts by being ushers, so you guys, thank you. You can say you're using your gifts. Some of you are maybe thinking, I don't know about this. I'm not sure that I can really use my gifts. And you do realize that, let me ask you, church, you do realize that you're not doing this on your own, right? You're not doing this by your power. You're doing it by the power of God. Miss Ellie spoke just a moment ago about our wonderful preschool and children's ministry. And I'm just going to tell you right now, there have been many times where I just said, man, I wish I could go serve over there. But I'm getting paid to do student ministry, so I got to do student ministry. I'm as close as I can be to children's ministry without actually being over there. My son is a participant, and he absolutely loves it. My wife teaches with the fifth grade girls. She loves it. She helps out on Wednesday night, too, when we're in here for the intergenerational study. I'm just going to tell you, if you have no idea where to serve and you think God has gifted you, and by the way, He has, just sign up with the preschool and children's ministry. Talk to Miss Ellie. That is an awesome place where you can serve. There are many, many other places as well. And as I say that, some of you are thinking, Brother Matt, I can't work with kids. Again, you're not doing this by your power, folks. You're doing it by the power of God. If you love people and you love God, you can serve in children's ministry. If you love the Word of God, you can serve in children's ministry. You can also serve in other areas as well. So I encourage you, get out there. Let God work in you. I want to remind us, church, God is very serious about this thing called the church. He loves it very much. And Jesus is serious about His body. A miracle happens when God rescues us from the dead, changes our hearts by the power of His Holy Spirit, switches us from enemies of God to friends and heirs of God, and He makes us into part of this body. And He gives us a unique gift to be used for His body, to accomplish His purposes in the world. That's awesome. That's an awesome thing. It is a miracle of God. And sometimes we forget about that. We forget about how we were without Christ. We forget about the stories of how God has radically changed people. And that person that we never thought would come into the doors of a church is now faithfully and actively functioning as a member of the body of Christ. May we never forget the miracle of the church. And we never forget that. It is an awesome thing for which Christ died. Let me encourage you. Don't slack off. Because when you do, we all suffer. When I slack off, we all suffer. Your part is important. Let's build each other up. Let's cherish the Word. Share the gospel. Strengthen the family. Serve the community and reach the world together. Let's do it together because, church, it takes all of us. We have to do it as one body. And some of you here this morning, I may be sharing the Word of God with you, and you say, okay, I appreciate everything you said. I understand what Paul's saying, but I'm not so sure I'm a part of this body. I'm not so sure I'm even a Christian. Maybe God is speaking to you today through the power of His Holy Spirit. Maybe God is calling you from death to put you into life. Maybe God wants to rescue you from your sins. Power of the Holy Spirit, power of the gospel is awesome. And it can, in fact, change our lives. And if God is speaking to you this morning, you might say, well, Brother Matt, I've been here every day since I was a kid. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean you're a Christian. I've seen people, I saw a man when I was in Louisville, at a church in Louisville. He was faithful as a leader, serving the church. He came forward one day and said, I'm not even a Christian. God convicted him of his sins and he came to Christ. Maybe God is convicting you this morning of your sins. I want to let you know He offers forgiveness and He offers miracles and He will change your life. Perhaps, I think many of us in here today, myself included, are encouraged that we need to serve the church more and be more faithful in the way we serve God. Perhaps God's speaking to you. You want to step out in some sign of obedience. Maybe you want to be baptized. Maybe you say, I need to serve the Lord. Maybe you just need to come pray and repent. In just a moment, we'll have an opportunity to do that. We're going to pray in just a moment and ask God to bless us as we go out of these rooms and continue to serve Him for His glory. I want you to stand with me. I hope God's spoken to you this morning through the power of His Word. I hope you've been encouraged. I hope you are challenged. Be challenged, church. Let God's Word have an effect in your heart, in your mind, and in your life. Be challenged to serve more faithfully. Be a challenge to encourage one another, a challenge to do your part in the body of Christ. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You have rescued us from death and brought us into life. And that You did not leave us alone. You equipped us through the power of Your Holy Spirit to live for You, to be encouraged, and to serve You in Your body. Help us, Lord, to continue to do that. Continue to live for You. Continue to serve You. Lord, help us as a church to be committed to the mission which You have given us. And that we'll realize we're not doing this on our own. It's not just our leaders doing it. It's not just those who are preaching and teaching and leading. Lord, it's all of us. We're all in this together. And it's important that all of us serve. Help us to be committed to that this morning and for the rest of our days. God, if someone here is lost without You, may You convict them of their sins and draw them to Yourself. We know You work miracles. Help us to never forget the power and the miracle of salvation and the power and the miracle of Your church. Please bless us as we faithfully attempt to serve You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If God is speaking to you, won't you come forward?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Thank you, church, this morning for listening and bearing with me as I continue to wake up. I'm awake now. I hope you're awake as well. I hope many of you are going to small group. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you're back here tonight to hear the preaching of God's Word from Brother John Newland. I always love hearing him, and so I hope you're here tonight and have an opportunity to hear him. I hope you have a wonderful week. Please know, listen, church, if there's anything we can do for you as a church staff, don't hesitate to come to the office, to call the office, to email the office, whatever we can do to help you. Maybe it's figuring out how you can use your gift. Maybe it's something else. Please let us know. Thank you so much. Love you, church. Please be in prayer for our Toronto team. Please be in prayer for Brother Todd. He may be preaching right now, as a matter of fact. So be in prayer for him. Gentlemen, thank you for leading us in worship through music. Look forward to worshiping with you some more in the next hour. Let's go to God in prayer.
God, thank You for taking Your truth and planting it deep in us. Continue to shape and fashion us in Your likeness. Your name we pray. Amen.
Now as we turn to leave this place, Your message we'll proclaim. Our praise accept.